That's a short service. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I know my son-in-law, he likes to sit on that, but praise God. But we're excited to be here with you this morning. Have Anna's mom stand up by us. Praise the Lord. But we're excited what God is doing here, and we're excited to be in the building with you. We've been in one service, but I appreciate Pastor Josh inviting us to slave over the kids, take care of the house, watch the grandkids, and then give me this, you know, throw out the bone and preach Sunday morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we're excited to be here. We love you guys, and we appreciate, and we're excited about what God is doing here. Amen. And we're excited about what the Lord is doing in our lives. You know, we're coming out of the craziness, and things are going to start opening up. And it's real important for the church right now that we know who we are, that we know our purpose, our mission, amen, and that we be the voice that God wants us to be speaking to the nation, that we're bringing people back into a place of faith and victory, trust, amen. And so instead of looking at this saying, oh, this has been a terrible time, we should look at this and say, this is a great opportunity for us to shine the light like never before. Pour the salt in, be salty, and help people's lives get healed, changed, and transformed. Amen? So, this morning, let's get into the Word of God. Let's pray, and I just believe this will be a good time and a good word for you. Praise God. Father, we thank you now and praise you for this privilege that we have to once again open up the truth of the Word. We trust you, Holy Spirit, to grant us utterance. And Lord, we thank you for working with us, confirming your Word in our lives while we set ourselves to hear it, receive it, and be doers of it. And we give you the praise for all things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you want to, you can turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 13. And I'm going to minister to you a message that the Lord gave me, actually a few years ago for me. And then I preached it and ministered it out. And some people came to me and said, that was really good. So I built some more messages to it and actually put a book out. Praise God. So this is a little excerpt from one of my books out there, Discovering God's Will and God's Way. Because it's so important that we learn how to walk by faith. Amen. So important that we trust God. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, the Apostle Paul writes here and he says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Now, there's so many tremendous things right here in this verse that you need to get a hold of. First of all, the Apostle Paul says, we having the same spirit of faith. Amen? What's he talking about there? He's saying you and I today have the same spirit of faith or the same nature of faith that the apostles had. Amen? We all have the same faith. How many of you know that some didn't get great faith, some didn't get little faith? God gives us all faith when we're born again. Amen? In fact, hold your spot right there. This is a verse that I'll go to. I didn't think I would, but I will. Second Peter chapter 1, Peter says it this way, Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now listen to what he says. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, you just read over that and you say, oh, well, praise God. But Peter's writing here and he says, to those who have obtained. That means you already have the same kind of faith that the Apostle Peter had. Now, don't look at me in that tone of voice. I'm teaching the truth to you. Amen. Somebody says, nah, I know that can't be me because I don't have that kind of faith. Well, either you're lying or the Bible's lying. So I'm going to go with the Bible. Hallelujah. And say that you're lying. Amen. Praise God. So you got to understand this. Peter is writing to the church. He's writing to believers. And he says that we have obtained the same like precious faith that he has. And we got it through the righteousness that we enter into with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Somebody says, well, when did I get this faith? Ephesians 2:8-9 says you're saved by grace. How? Through faith. Amen? So that means that whenever I get saved, God gives me the faith to receive his grace to be saved. Amen? You can say amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we begin to find out here that when I get saved, God gives me faith. And Romans 12:3 says that God has dealt to each one of us a measure of his faith. Praise God. So therefore, I have the same spirit of faith. I have the kind of faith that moves mountains. Praise God. Amen. I have the kind of faith that pleases God. I have the kind of faith the apostles had that did all the works. You and I, every believer. Why? Because God is no respecter of persons. Amen. And so whatever Paul had, we have. Whatever Peter has, we have. Because God gives us the same thing that he gave to them, praise God. So today, you and I have the same like precious faith that they had. In fact, in my Bible, it has a little center column reference, and it says faith of the same value. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Amen? God gives me the faith of the same value that the apostles had that went before me, praise God. So what does that mean? That means you and I should be doing things today that they did then. If they got answers to prayer, you and I should be getting answers to prayer. Amen? If they stood up against tests and trials and overcame them, you and I should be able to stand up against tests and trials and overcome them. Come on, if they had needs met in their lives, we should be able to get needs met in our lives. Amen? Now here's the thing that a lot of people mess up when you teach along the lines of faith. They think, well, if you teach in faith, then we'll never have another problem. Oh, come on. The reason God gave you faith is because you're going to have problems. Are you listening to me? In fact, in Mark 11, 22 and 23, Jesus teaches over there, and he told the disciples, he said, have faith in God. I like the Amplified. It says, have faith in God constantly. Amen? What's that mean? That means have faith in God whether you think you need it or not. Hallelujah. On your good day, have faith in God. Don't just wait till you have a bad moment to have faith in God. Amen? Now, faith means to have a firm persuasion that God will do for you what he said. If you want to just define faith, faith is having a trust or a firm conviction and persuasion in your heart that God will do for you what he said he would do. That's having faith in God. I'm trusting God. I'm fully convinced and persuaded in my heart that God will do for me what he said he would do. Hallelujah. And so I act like that. I act like God's on my side. I act like God's going to get me through this thing. Amen? Excuse me. And then we begin to look in verse 23 of Mark 11. He says this. He says that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he says shall come to pass, shall have what he says. You know what he's saying? He's saying have faith in God constantly so that when you run up against a mountain, you're not overwhelmed by the problem, but you can stand strong, believe God, and get through that situation. Amen? So why do I have faith? Faith is given to me so I can live for God, please God, walk with God, and then have God working in my life when I run up against a struggle. Amen? Everything you face, you should face it with faith in God. So the apostle says here, and we have the same spirit of faith. Then he begins to give you some insights on how this faith has to work. He says this. He says, according to what is written, I believed. Now, let's stop right there. What am I going to build my faith on? My faith is going to be built upon what is written in the Word of God, not somebody's opinion. Amen? Paul says, I have the same spirit of faith. He says, but here's how you have to have strong faith. Here's how you have to strengthen your faith. And here's what you have to build your faith on. When you're facing the devil and he's attacking you with thoughts, he's attacking you with symptoms of sickness, he's attacking you with needs or pressures or whatever, somebody says, you sure it's not God doing it to me? God never does any of that stuff. Y'all know that. I mean, you know, my son-in-law teaches good stuff here. Praise God. Amen. Amen. We know it's the thief. John 10:10, it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you can have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. And James says every good gift comes from God. So we know that sickness is not good. We know that, you know, bills and not having money is not good. Amen. So it doesn't come from God. But whenever these things are attacking us and coming against us, guess what? We have to have our faith established upon what God says. Okay? Not what the symptoms say, not what the circumstances say, not what people say, but what does God say? See, because faith is always built on what God says about the situation. So Paul writes here and he says, according to what is written, I believed. And you and I must develop our belief system based upon what is written in the Word of God. Amen. How many of you found out the world is trying to do its best to make sure that your belief system is like it? Amen. Anybody here over the last year known of anybody that's been attacked with the spirit of fear? Sure. What? You know, what is fear? Fear is just believing in the wrong thing. Amen. Fear is believing you're not going to make it. Faith believes you're going to. Fear believes in the symptoms. Faith believes in the word. Are you listening to me? And you and I have to let God's word develop our belief system so that our belief system is operating in line with God's will in our life. Amen. So he says this. He says, according to what is written, I believed. But, you know, just believing is not enough. How many of you found that to be true? You know, James said over in chapter 2 about the devils and demons. He said, listen, the devil and all of his demons believe in God and tremble at his name. But none of them are getting saved, are they? Huh? In fact, I told some people the other day, I was preaching in a church, and I said, you know, the devils believe and tremble at God's name. I said, some of the demons believe in God more than you do. At least they tremble at his name. Okay. Oh, it got quiet in here, didn't it? Praise God. But, you know, this is the thing. Believing's just not enough. You know, somebody says, I believe in God. Well, that's not enough. That's not even enough to get you saved, is it? Huh? Well, I thought if you just believed in God, you're saved. No, no. The Apostle Paul in Romans 10 tells us that you not only have to believe, but you have to confess Jesus is Lord, don't you? For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I don't get saved until I act on what I believe. Isn't that right? So guess what? I'm not going to get results with my faith until I act on what I believe. Faith is the action based upon what you believe, praise God. And so what does he say? He says, according to that which is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. He spoke because he believed what was written in the word. And then Paul goes on and says, we also believe and therefore speak. Meaning what? You and I release our faith the same way they release theirs. We believe what the word says. We act on that word by speaking out, claiming it, and then living it and believing God bring it to pass. Amen? Now, here's the thing I want to bring to you. He says here in this verse, he says, we having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed. So there are two things that are going to make your faith work, okay? Number one, you have faith. And then the two things that are going to make that faith work in your life is this. Number one, you have to know God's will, okay? How do I know God's will? I know God's will through his word. Are you listening to me? You can't operate. In fact, faith begins where the will of God is known. You can't have faith for something you don't know it's God's will to give you. Are you listening to me? See, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I can't have faith until I hear what God has to say about it. Amen. And here Paul writes and says, I believe according to what is written. So faith is coming to me through knowing God's will through God's word. Isn't that right? Now, Psalm 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of your words brings light. And it gives me understanding. You know what happens? The moment you allow the word of God to enter into your heart, it brings the light of faith into your life. Amen. See, here's the thing. You need to understand something. The first time I got a hold of it was God's will to actually heal me. And, you know, I'm fighting a little whatever. I think it's allergies or whatever. But anyway, you know, and stuff. And so it hit me. And so the devil says, well, you can't preach. I'll show him I can preach. Praise God. Because, you see, I'm walking in faith. Praise the Lord. I'm walking in revelation of what was put in my heart years ago. In fact, how did it get in my heart? Well, the Bible says the entrance of your word brings light. It brings the light of faith. The entrance of God's word, that 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes ye were healed, came into my heart one day. And it helped me to understand that Jesus not only paid the price for my sickness, or my sin, but he also paid the price for my sickness. And not only could I be forgiven of my sins, I could be healed from sickness and disease. Amen. And you know what I did with that? It got in my heart, and then it got in my mouth. And it's real funny. This is way back in, this was a few years ago, 1977. But it was in June of 1977. We were driving. Praise God. It was actually June the 6th, 1977. If you wouldn't really know the truth when I did this. But we were driving from Tennessee. I played college ball at East Tennessee State. And then when I graduated, a friend of mine got married down in Cookeville, Tennessee. And so we were living in Virginia at the old farmhouse where Bonnie grew up. And so we had gone back down to the wedding. And I was coming back, and I'd been meditating on healing scriptures. This is even pre-Rhema, you know, and stuff. But somebody'd give me healing scriptures, and I got to praying about it, and I was open to receiving it, you know. And that's pretty good for Baptists, wasn't it? Amen. Because at that time we were Southern Baptists, hallelujah. But you know, we were driving back, and I'd been meditating, memorizing those scriptures. And, you know, all of a sudden it got in my heart. And it was just like light went off. And I was driving a little 1971 Ford Pinto. Hallelujah. And I leaned over to Bonnie. It was about Wytheville, Virginia is where we were driving through. And I drove through and I said, I'm not going to be sick anymore. And she looked at me and she said, what? Now, she didn't say what because she was astonished that I said I'd not be sick anymore. She looked at me and was just trying to hear because that car was so loud you couldn't hear anything hardly at all in it. I mean, it was a piece of junk, praise God. I had not had the revelation that God would supply all my need at that time, amen. One revelation at a time, hallelujah. But I spoke it out again. Now, you know, over the years, I've been attacked physically. I've done things. But you know what? I've walked in health with God ever since because I found out how to use my faith and move that mountain of sickness out of my life. And whenever I was under attack, I realized it wasn't God putting it on me. I knew God's will was to heal me through that thing. Amen? So I don't know what you're facing today, but what you need to do is this. The first step in getting your faith to work for you is to build your faith on what God's word says and let it enter into your heart and get it into your heart, because once it becomes light in your heart, it becomes faith in your life. Then you know it's God's will. Now when you say, I believe and say, you're not just saying it in hope. You're not just saying it, maybe something will happen. You're saying it because you're rooted and established on the word, and you believe that God will work with you and confirm his word in your life. Amen? And so faith is first established on knowing God's will. You have to know God's will. In fact, let me show you something here in John, in John's gospel, the 8th chapter. Look what the Lord Jesus says about this. See, once you're born again, your life with Christ has just began. Are you listening to me? You haven't arrived just because Jesus is your Lord. You just walked through the door. Are you hearing me? Jesus said in John, he said, I'm the door. What do you do with the door? The door is the entrance, isn't it? The door isn't the end. The door is the beginning, praise God. And so when you get saved, you just entered into the kingdom of God. You just came out of the kingdom of darkness, came over into the kingdom of God. Now Jesus is your Lord, and your whole new life is beginning right now. Eternity starts with you at that moment, praise God. But how many of you found out when you got saved, you didn't know everything about being saved? Are you listening? See, that's why the Apostle Peter says over there, as newborn babes, we're to desire the pure milk of the word so we can grow up, praise God. So we began to get into the word. And here Jesus is teaching in John chapter 8 and verse 30. Pick it up and look what he says. He says, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Well, why did they believe in him? Because of the words that he spoke to them. See, how did you get saved? We're saved through the word of God. Somebody preached to you one day that Jesus died for your sins, that God raised him from the dead, and he ascended upon high, and if you would believe in your heart and confess him as your Lord, he would come into your life and save you and give you a new heart and make you a new person and give you eternal life. And you believed that gospel, and you acted upon that, and you believed on him based on those words. Amen? Are you hearing me? See, if you got saved based on a feeling, you're probably backslid right now because feelings come and go. Are you hearing me? And you see, the reason you have to build your faith on the Word of God is this. How many of you found out that there are times you wake up and you don't feel saved? Anybody here ever had the devil tell you you're not saved? What do you do whenever things are going bad and you feel like screaming and you feel like you're not saved? What do? You stand on the Word of God. The devil comes and says, you're not saved. Oh, yes, I am. How do you know you're saved? Because Romans 10, 9, and 10 says that if I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord in my heart, and I confess Him as my Lord with my mouth and give myself to Him, I am saved. So according to God's Word, I'm saved. Whether it looks like I'm saved, feels like I'm saved, people think I'm saved, or you think I'm saved, Mr. Devil, I'm saved because the Word says Jesus is my Lord. Amen? And I tell you what, when you believe according to the Word like that, the devil will pack up his little bag of junk and leave. Hallelujah. Because he knows he can't whip you because you're rooted and established on the Word and your faith isn't on feelings. So he can't peddle those feelings anymore and cause you to be defeated in life. Amen? So Jesus is teaching the Word, and the Bible says, and many believed in Him based on what He said. Then look in verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, you've arrived, so go home and just live your life. You'll be okay. No, He didn't say that. That's the religious standard version. Okay. Selah. Praise God. No, what did Jesus say? He didn't say, you're there now. No, look what He says. To the people that just believed, He says, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What did He say? He said, now, you started with me based upon the word. Now, stay with the word. Continue with the word. And the more you stay with the word, the more you continue with the word, the more you study the word, the more you get the word in you, the more it'll establish you in your life. In fact, you'll go from just being a new convert to a disciple. And you know what the ultimate of the Lord's purpose for you and me is? That we become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody says, what's a disciple? A learner and follower of the teachings of Jesus. Amen? I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a learner and a follower of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. I build my life upon the Word. My worldview is established upon what Jesus says about it. Hallelujah. Amen? Not what the world's saying about it, not what the devil's saying about it. My worldview is established upon what I believe, and I believe what the Word says. Amen? And so I'm going to continue in the Word. So the Word begins to give us the first W. And the first W of walking in faith is knowing God's will. The will of God is where faith begins. Amen? You can never have faith for something you don't know is God's will for. But the second thing is this. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, he says, we're having the same spirit of faith. The same spirit of faith. Notice, faith isn't just a legalistic ritual. It's not a bunch of rules and rules. You know, it's not steps 1, 2, 3, 4. You know what faith is? Faith is a spiritual force that's given to you so you can follow God. Amen? And so faith has to also operate by the Spirit as well as the Word. Amen? And you know where a lot of us are missing it? We're just trying to take a scripture out of the Bible and say, I believe this, without allowing the Holy Spirit to show us how to make it work in our life. Amen? See, Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. Amen? So if we're children of God, we should be led by the Spirit of God. The trouble with a lot of Christians is we're trying to lead the Spirit instead of letting the Spirit lead us. So what's that mean? That means we're trying to tell God how to do things in our life. But you can't use your faith to tell God to do things in your life. You use your faith for God to show you how He wants to do things in your life. You use your faith to move the mountain that's trying to stop what God's doing in your life. Are you hearing me? See, Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Not those who diligently tell them what they want and what they want Him to do. Are you hearing me? See, you can't force God to do anything. Can I have a good amen? But you can use your faith and hook up with what God said and get him to help you in every situation of your life. Amen. So what's the second W that I have to have? See, the first W is this. I need to have God's word and will in my life. And the second W is this. I have to have God's way in my life. What's the way God wants to do this? How is God going to do this? See, I have to learn to be led by the Spirit of God and let the Holy Ghost lead me. 1 John 2:20, the Bible says, you have an anointing or an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You know what he's saying there? He's saying the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you, and the Holy Spirit will give you an anointing, an unction, a leading, a guiding to show you what God wants you to do in that situation. Amen? And you see, this is where I believe a lot of us that try to live by faith, we miss it. We hear God wants to heal us, and we start confessing our healing, but did we take time to find out how God wants to heal us? Not when. It's always when with God. How do you know? Because Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is, not someday faith is. So God is all, it's always God's will to save me. Always God's will to heal me. Always God's will to take care of me. But how am I going to get God to do it? Okay? Do you ever notice that when the Lord Jesus was on the earth ministering, he didn't do everything the same way all the time? I mean, even in healings. I mean, he spit on one guy, put mud in another guy's eyes, told one guy to pick up his bed when he couldn't walk. Isn't that right? Told one after he put mud in his eyes to walk across town and wipe his eyes out in the pool. One time he laid hands on people. Another time he spoke to him. I mean, all kinds of ways that the Lord healed people. Wonder why he did that. Maybe it's because he wanted us to realize that you can't put God in a box and just try to make him do it your way. Maybe he was wanting us to learn to trust God all through the process and let God show us how he was going to do it. Amen? In fact, look in Psalm 25. I like this verse over here in the Old Testament. Psalm 25 and verses 4 and 5. See, here's where we really need to let this sink in and get it down in our spirit. Amen? This is what he says, and this is David. And David says in verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 25, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I will wait all the day. Now that should be our attitude and faith when we're trusting God. Now notice that David says here, show me your ways, O Lord. You know the word ways there means a course or mode of action. A course or mode of action. Lord, show me the course you want me to take or the mode of action you want me to go. Amen? Now, I'll tell you, when I got this message, I'll be real honest with you, when the Lord gave this to me, several years ago, I played ball all the way up through college. And whenever I finished college, I played strong safety, and I was always throwing the forearm against these tight ends and all this stuff and stuff. But my shoulder, every now and then, I would do something, and it would get sore, and I would rehab it and pray over it, and it'd be okay. Well, you know, that went real good until I turned 60. Hallelujah. And so I was down in Mexico City and ministering on a missions trip. And we'd been doing, I did Sunday. We had great services on Sunday. Then I was doing to the Bible school two services a day, Monday through Friday. Not bad for 60, amen? And that was, I won't tell you how many years ago. But I'm down there ministering. And so the minister, the pastor, the missionary, he said, hey, a guy got me a membership to a club. If you want to go over and work out and just relax a little bit, we can do that. So I said, sure. So we went over, and man, they had all these nice machines, and I thought, this is great. And so I put on real light weight because Mexico City's almost 8,000 feet above sea level. And so, I ran up the steps one day and went, oh, my God. But anyway, I put on just a little bit of weight, got about 5 reps, got the 6th rep up to here, and it just quit. I put it back down real quick. Man, that shoulder. And so I prayed, did the same thing over and over. I know God's will to heal. I mean, I've rehabbed and prayed my healing back into that shoulder since I was, 20 years old. I've been doing this for 40 years at the time, And so it works. But this time I go for like 3 months and it's not better. And it just keeps getting worse. And I keep, I'm trying to fix it. And my wife is looking at me like, why don't you go get that checked out, And so, I'm saying, and she's in faith with me. She's believing. And so we had a missionary come in, and he's talked about how he'd been in an accident in the country he's at, and he actually had torn a rotator. And he described his pain. And after the service that Sunday morning, we go home, and he says, he described your shoulder. I said, well. She goes, get it checked. So I prayed. And you know what? I felt like the Lord said, go get it checked. So I went and got it checked. Well, I found out that it was torn over as a mess. And so the surgeon says, now, do you want me to give you a shot, or you want me to fix it, or you want me? I said, fix it. I didn't come here to get it massaged. I came here to get it fixed. If I'm going to do this. And somebody says, you a faith man? You're going to let a doctor do something? Yes. And so I prayed. And you know what I did? I prayed, Lord, if this is your way of getting my shoulder healed. See, I know it's God's will to heal it. But God, if this is your way of doing that, then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray that you give me a really great, quick surgery and then a supernatural recovery that's a testimony to everybody around. And I went in and I found out the reason I couldn't get it is because I had developed bone spurs over the years and they'd finally grown and gotten like razor sharp. And every time I'd put pressure, it would rip through the tendon. And so therefore it had finally torn it to the point it couldn't get healed. So I didn't need just a healing. I needed a miracle. But you know what that surgeon did? He went in, he told my wife later, he says, it was worse than we thought it was, but I got done 20 minutes sooner than I did. Everything went perfect. He said it was a great surgery. I did 3 therapies and I had 100% movement and the doctor released me and told me, you're okay, go about your business. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, somebody says, you sure that was right, that God led you to? You know what I'm saying? See, what we do is this, we want to put God in a box and we want him to either, he's either going to get me through laying on hands or I'm going to pray or some spectacular supernatural. And God does that. But God does other things too. And you see, what you have to do is you have to learn to be led by the Spirit on your faith, praise God. What is the way God wants to get that done in your life? We've done this with cars. We've done this with everything. And the Lord has shown us, you need to learn to do my way. I'll tell you, there are times you just need to listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. I'll tell you another time. Years ago, I was out running all the time. I always ran and played ball and stuff. So I was running. I was training for a 5K, and I was going to break records. Hallelujah. And my knees started getting sore. And so, it kept getting sore, and I'm praying over it, and it kept getting sore, and I'm praying over it. And one day I'm praying, and the Lord said, don't run for the next 2 weeks. It'll be okay. I said, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. That's the devil trying to stop me from running. And so I went out and ran, and it got sore again. And so finally, I had a person in the church. I said, well, I'll just let them check it. And so I went over and let them check it and, all this stuff. And they said, well, Pastor, you're pretty. There's nothing wrong. If you just quit running for a couple of weeks, you'd be all right. Here's my bill. I thought, Lord, you would show me your way to get this thing healed up was just, it wasn't a lack of faith. It was ignorance on my part. Amen. See, you've got to understand something, folks. You cannot use your confession of faith and override the unction of the Spirit of God in your heart. Are you hearing me? You cannot. I cannot say by his stripes I'm healed and God tells me I'm not supposed to do that. Brother Hagin tells a story one time. He was preaching about being led by the Spirit. And he said a pastor and his wife came up to him and said, I wish I'd have heard this message a year ago. And he says, why is that? He says, well, he said, about a year ago, we were in a bad accident. He said, well, what happened? He said, well, I got up that morning, prayed, went through my confessions. He said, I wasn't remiss in what I was doing. I was believing God, speaking my faith. And he said, we got ready to go get in the car. And he said, I just had this little leading in my spirit. Wait 10 minutes. Just wait 10 minutes. And he said, but I thought, you know, I've already prayed. God's covering's over me. It'll be fine. In Jesus' name, I rebuke this. We'll be okay. He said, we got in the car and took off. He said, I'd driven about 45 minutes, went around a curb. There was an accident there. He said, I couldn't stop. I hit that person. Then a guy hit me. My wife got injured. He said, if I'd have just listened to the Spirit of God and waited 10 minutes, I would have missed the whole thing. See, you cannot faith yourself through when the Holy Ghost is telling you not to do it. See, that's where we get in trouble. But when the Holy Ghost is telling you to do something, you can't sit back and not do it. Are you listening to me? You have to use your faith with the Spirit. And when you use your faith with the Spirit and do it according to the mode or the course of action God's wanting you to do, your faith will work every time. And it'll get you the victory. Let me give you a real quick example from the Old Testament. We won't turn there, but 2 Kings 5, verses 8 through 15. I'll tell you the story. It's a story about Naaman. How many of you know the story about Naaman, the leper in the Old Testament? You know, he's a great general and all this stuff. And so they capture a little Hebrew girl, and they bring her back. And she's working with his wife in his house. And so she says, oh, if the general, you know, if he would have just get over into Samaria, there's a prophet in Israel, and God would heal him from his leprosy. So he's thinking, man, if I can get over and get healed, I'm going to go do this. So he's got God's will. God's will is for him to get healed. So Naaman goes to the king, says, give me some papers. I'm going to go over here. I want to get my healing. So Naaman goes over there, and of course the king of Israel hears it and goes, oh my God, what are we going to do? But Elisha says, send him to me. I got him. So here comes Naaman in his chariot and all of his pomp and ceremony, and he comes up to the prophet's house. And the prophet doesn't even go out to see him. The prophet sends his servant out and says, go tell Naaman to dip 7 times in Jordan and he'll be okay. Guess what? God's will is to heal him. God's way is to him go jump in Jordan 7 times. You know what Naaman does? He gets so mad. He throws a fit. He does. He gets angry. I mean, he gets in a rage. He says, I was just sure. I had already sure in my heart. He was going to come out, wave his hand. God was going lightning across the sky. And this leprosy was going to depart. And I was going to get healed. Are there not better rivers over in Damascus than this stinking Jordan? And he turns around and huffs and puffs and takes off. Well, fortunately, one of his young officers rides up by his chair and says, hey, if he'd have told you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? Why not just do what he said? So he goes down and dips 7 times, washes himself, and comes up totally healed. What's the key? He knew God's will was to heal him, and God's way was for him to dunk himself 7 times. See, folks, here's the thing where we're missing it. What is the Spirit of God? How's he been showing you? What's been in your heart? What should you be doing? Because you can't use your confession to override the leading of the Spirit. You have to have your confession and the leading working together for you to walk in faith. Amen? Because your faith is to cause you to be able to do what the Spirit of God is showing you that God's will for you is. Amen? I'll give you another. We won't take time to turn there. But in 1 Chronicles 14, this is very important. Go read it sometime, verses 8 through 17. This is David. You know, David has just been set in as king. And let me tell you why it's so important that you seek God every time. David has been put in as king, and here come the Philistines. And so they're coming up attacking. And so do you know what David does? David goes to God and he says, shall I go out and pursue them? See, he knows it's God's will to give him the victory over his enemy. So he's asking God's way or course or mode of action on how he's going to accomplish the victory. So he says, shall I go out and fight the enemy? And God says, go out, for surely I've given you the victory. So you know what David does? He goes out, gets his army, defeats the Philistines. Same chapter, a few verses later, the Philistines re-rally themselves and come up another way. Now, here's where you and I would miss it. We would say, you know what? It was God's will for me to go out against them and defeat them. I'm just going to get the people together. We're going to go out and do it again. Do you know what David did? David inquired of the Lord again. Now, Lord, shall I go out and fight again? God says, no, don't go out this time. Go over around the mulberry trees. When you hear the wind rustling, then go, because I've given you the victory. Same enemy, two different ways of defeating them. Could be the same headache, two different ways to get rid of it. Are you listening to me? What we have to do is this. If you're going to walk in victory today, and we're going to be a voice speaking out, we have to learn how to hear God's voice and then learn how to release our faith to work with Him to get the job done. Amen? So what's the key? Build your faith upon what God's Word says and then learn to be led by the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will always lead you in line with the truth of God's Word. Amen? Let's pray. Praise team. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You now and praise You. And Lord God, I thank You today. I just believe You that this Word is bringing answers and light and direction and guidance. And right now, Holy Spirit, we just trust You to just to draw us into that place where we hear and that we see and that we can walk and do these things You've called us to do, Lord. And Lord, I thank You right now. I thank You for speaking to every heart. I thank You, Lord God, for showing us revelation, knowledge, and direction on how to face every mountain. Lord God, to defeat every giant and to overcome every obstacle. I thank You, Holy Spirit, for right now, for showing us the key to making our faith get the victory right now. Thank You for it. Thank You for it. Thank You for it. Now, while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, each one of us, we pray, we look to the Lord. I ask you this simple question this morning. Is Jesus Christ Lord of your life? Because, see, that's where faith begins. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. That means it begins with Him and finishes with Him. And He develops it all the way through. How do I get faith? By hearing and acting upon this Word. And you've heard this day, Jesus Christ came to save you from your sins. But not only to save you from your sins, but to save you from a life of destruction. To save you from the power of darkness. To save you from living a life that's just up and down and in and out and defeated. To save you into a life of righteousness, fellowship with God, hope for eternity, faith to face every day's challenges. See, Christianity isn't just a trip to the altar, then go about your business. Christianity is you making a commitment to Jesus Christ to live your life for Him, to allow Him to teach you and lead you and direct you and work with you as a good shepherd, and grow every day. If that's you today and you don't know the Lord, we would sure love to give you an opportunity this morning to surrender your life to Christ. I'm going to ask you to do two simple things. First, I'm going to ask you to be honest with yourself and honest with God. And if you really don't know that you're saved, you can know you're saved today. The Bible says we know that we've passed from death unto life. You can know Jesus is Lord today. So be honest with yourself. And the second thing is this. If you'd like to pray a simple prayer this morning, I'm going to ask you right now, where heads are bowed and eyes are closed, intercessors are praying, would you just lift a hand up to heaven and say, Lord Jesus, today I'm reaching up to You. I'm reaching up to You. I'm giving my life to You. I'm surrendering my life to You. Lord, we thank You right now. We praise You. We just believe You, Holy Spirit, that You just move on each and every heart and every life. Lord, I just believe that You establish in each and every heart the know-so salvation, that we know that, Lord, we'll never doubt our walk with You, and that, Lord God, that we'll never be ashamed of You or ashamed of Your Word, but, Lord God, that we'll be bold in You, strong in You, and be people of faith. And I thank You, Lord, for Your hand upon each one of us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to stand with me. And I know we have altar workers up here. But right now, I want you to just take a moment and lift your hands up to the Lord. And what's God been speaking to you? See, every one of us have an unction down on the inside. And you know, there are times with me, the Lord just told me, he said, go pray. Just go spend time in the Word. And when I go and spend time in the Word, it just released the very victory in my life. There are other times God's told me to do other things. See, there are ways, there are things out here that are trying to stop your faith. But the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. And he knows how to help you to get success and victory. So the key to it today is this. If you've been running up against a mountain that just don't look like it's moving, then maybe you know it's God's will to move it. Maybe you just need to step back and say, God, what's the way you want to do this? What's your way? How do you want me to do that? How do you want me to handle this? Because see, sometimes we're like Naaman. We have a preconceived idea that God's got to do it this way. Right now, take just a moment. Surrender yourself to the Lord. And I'm going to pray for you. And I want you to pray. And I want you to just right now, just open up your heart and say, Lord, I hear your voice. And I know that you speak to me. And I'm led by the Spirit. And I thank you for showing me the way that I am to do and to use my faith. Come on, let's pray right now. Lift your hands up to the Lord. Father, right now, I thank you all over this house. I thank you that you're a good, good Father. And I thank you that you love us and care for us. And Lord Jesus, you're the great shepherd. And you said you would go before us and your sheep would hear your voice and follow you and know your voice. That means that you'll lead us and show us how to do it. So today, Lord Jesus, right now, I ask you to show each and every one of us how we're to do it, the way we're to go, the course, the mode of action we're to take that will cause our faith to move the mountain, that will cause our faith to get the answer, that will cause our faith to receive the victory. And Lord, I thank you right now. Devil, I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bind every lie, every deception, every hindrance. And Lord, I thank you that we all, each and every one of us, set ourselves to have ears to hear, eyes to see, and in our hearts, we receive that very truth, that very key direction that will release our faith and help us to walk in victory. And I thank you, Lord, for speaking it to each and every one now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a great praise this morning. Also, I did bring some books back there. Anna said, Dad, are you going to bring some books or something? I said, yeah, okay, I'll do it. And the book on discovering God's will and God's way has this and a whole lot more in it. That's out there on the table. So if you'd like to get some of those, praise God, pick one up. Make sure you pay for it. We'd hate to put you in jail for stealing it off my book. No, just kidding. Praise God. Terrible joke. Hallelujah.